Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Texans topped the Chiefs 31-24. That's the good news. The bad news, one of the biggest weaknesses of the team, reappears. Kyahmi Fairbairn, another missed extra point, another missed field goal. Here's what it sounded like on Sports Radio 610 with Vandy and Andre.
Fairbairn to try a 46-yard field goal. He made one from 44 yards this end in the first half. The snap is down. The kick is up, and it's wide left. The snap is down. Kaimi's kick is up, and it's no good. His fourth extra point miss of the season, and the Texans trail 17-9.
Something's got to be done, my man.
Yeah, I'm with you, Andre. I am with you 100%.
I'm not.
And then there's the going for it in the fourth quarter when a
fourth and three, a 45 yarder would have won it.
Dude, say that again. A 45 yard field goal is a put away field goal that 90-95% of the time is a no brainer. You just say, let's go, kick it. Because an NFL kicker from 45 yards should be virtually an automatic. I know there's always going to be a miss and some tension and all that, but virtually an automatic from 40-45 yards, and you went for it. The fact that you did that tells you the amount of confidence they have in Fairbairn, which is none, and his future, what his future might be hinging on, and that is by a thread.
I get what you're saying, and I 100% get what you're saying, where if you're not confident enough to trust your kicker in that situation, then you might need a new one. But I can promise you, any of these guys on the streets, any of these kickers on the streets, you're not going to feel much better about. I think you got to be very careful what you wish for here. Does Kyahmi Fairbairn need to be better? Absolutely. But I would not get rid of Kyahmi Fairbairn, because I actually think you dodged a bullet yesterday. I think there's a chance that we should have been coming here today and saying Kyahmi Fairbairn cost the Texans a game against the Chiefs. We should have said that, but you dodged that bullet. And I'm telling you, these names out there, a lot of teams have been shuffling for kickers. It's slim pickings. Your best hope right now for fixing the kicker situation isn't getting rid of this guy and then hoping that you bring in somebody that's going to be able to be as good as him, because the chances are that guy's going to be just as shaky. And I can promise you this, as soon as you cut Fairbairn, he's going to be on another team in the next 2 days. Like, he will be kicking. If you cut Fairbairn today, he's going to be in uniform and kicking for another NFL team in 6 days. I promise you that.
Here's my counterpoint to your counterpoint. The new kicker you bring in may not be physically the kicker that Fairbairn is at his best, but he's not going to have scrambled eggs for brains. See, my point for going...
A lot of kickers do, John.
I know, but these things just tend to compound themselves. And right now, Fairbairn is going down that... He's going down that Brad Lidge road, that Matt Schaub pick six road that we're all familiar with. We've had kickers do the same thing in this city. And once you start getting your brain scrambled like that, then... And a kicker who might not be physically as gifted as you is a better choice, because at least he's going to have more confidence in a 45-yard field goal. So I think it's something that you're going to have to – Bill O'Brien said immediately after the game, we're going to have to look at that. He didn't give him a vote of confidence. He didn't do anything. He just said, we're going to have to look at that. It's not really looking good for Fairbairn.
Here is Bill O'Brien talking about Kyahmi Fairbairn and his ongoing struggles.
I don't know, John. I think we got to go back. We got to look at the technique. I think it's all – everybody's involved in that. I mean, it's the whole operation. I think we have to look at it. Kyahmi's made a lot of big kicks for us. We know that. But, we've got to get that area improved.
You got to get it right, but I'm just
telling
you. We got
to look at it.
You can't.
That's not a good sign.
You're not going to get a better kicker than Fairbairn. You're not.
I think you're not. You
just
may
not going to happen.
You may not get a better kicker in terms of the ability, But I think you might get a bit better kicker because Fairbairn might be – he's missed four extra points. You can't tell me that's not in his brain, on his mind every single time.
The extra points are a problem. They're 100% a problem. I'm with you on that. He really missed five because that one against the Saints where he missed it and then they had that running into the kicker.
Yeah.
Him missing that had nothing to do with the guy running into him. So he's really missed five. Yeah. It's worse than
and then the field goal.
And that one would have been the most costly than we're talking about because we're talking about the Saints then winning the game.
And I also think you should miss him. You should at least bring in competition, but maybe replace him. Because if we're sitting here saying, hey, man, the Texans all of a sudden look like they as much of a Super Bowl contender as anyone, postseason football comes down to kicks.
Okay, I would.
It comes down to kicks.
It does, but Fairbairn has succeeded for you in clutch situations. Mm-hmm. Bring some kickers in and work them out. Mm-hmm. Just look at them. Just put some fire on Fairbairn, but I do not want to.
And you might find one that you like.
Yeah, maybe you will, but maybe you won't. I think you got to keep Fairbairn and just keep your fingers crossed because I'm telling you, man, it is slim pickets. It's crazy. Yesterday, the Cowboys, their kicker kicks a 62-yard field goal, and then all of a sudden he goes out there and misses a 40-yarder. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, the situation with kickers in the NFL is as shaky as it gets. Does he need to kick the extra points? Yes, but I am not on the cut Fairbairn train, at least not quite yet. All right, we got some injury news involving the Houston Texans. Tytus Howard carted off yesterday. Very emotional. Everybody was going up to him, tapping him on the shoulder. You saw tears running down his cheeks. However, not as bad as we initially thought. Not a torn ACL. It is a sprained MCL. Partially torn MCL. He will miss some time, but expected to return later this season. So not great news, but not as bad as we initially thought. On the defensive side of the ball, however, Bradley Roby, we saw him leave with a hamstring. It's a serious hamstring issue. He's going to miss at least a month. So the Texans already thin at cornerback. They're going to be even thinner because Bradley Roby's going to be out for at least the next four or five games. But we know how those things are. They tend to linger. So you got to be very cautious with probably your best cornerback.
I would say both of them probably you won't see again until after the bye week, after they get back from London. Simply to be precautious with Tytus Howard. And it seems in terms of Bradley Roby, it's a much more serious tear or hamstring injury than anybody could have thought. Phillip Gaines doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. He was pretty weak early on, but they sort of adjusted things and held on later. Actually, what really helped them was time of possession. The offense, the Texans offense stayed on the field.
I mean, this is just part of the game. You know, the Texans had been fortunate in the injury department. This is just part of the game. I mean, the Colts this week, Darius Leonard's been hurt. Malik Hooker, their starting safety was out. Their other starting safety was out. T.Y. Hilton's been missing some time. This is the stuff you have to deal with. We saw the Texans hold on yesterday without their starting corners. They're going to have to do it without Bradley Roby and without Tytus Howard for the time being. But, you know, other teams are dealing with it. The Texans are finally having to. And fortunately, they're 4-2 with an opportunity to take firm control of the AFC South on Sunday against the Colts. Astros ALCS game one Saturday, completely blown out, shut out. However, they put that in the rear view yesterday. Extra innings in the 11th inning. Carlos Correa at the plate in a 2-2 game, and this happens.
Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over. Correa ends it. Series is tied in a game apiece.
Hey, we were all saying, oh, my God, on that. One of the great moments, not since Chris Burke in 04, has Houston seen anything like that. One of the great moments in Astros history, a pivoting type of moment for this series. I don't think it's over by any stretch. I mean, I know you've got Verlander and Cole three of the next five games. So if they just hold serve, if they just do what you think, you should win the series, right? I mean, because you got those two guys in three of the next five games, you should be able to do what you should be able to advance the World Series. But man, as much as we've kind of criticized or at least questioned Aaron Boone's use of the bullpen so much,
it's cornball
and pulling pitchers out so quickly,
it's cornball baseball.
It worked. I mean, it didn't work until the last swing. I mean, it worked until the last swing. You know, the Astros were in control and had more guys left in scoring position. They had more opportunities. Verlander was dealing. Aaron Judge basically, you know, took the lead with one swing of the bat.
Not basically. He did.
Oh, he did, and they only had like two hits for the most. So it was kind of, you know, a little desperate, a little bit much, but it was working.
Yeah, it's fine. It can work early, but when you do that, then you leave your bullpen vulnerable, and all of a sudden everybody gets a look at him. Dave Roberts did this in the World Series 2017. Mm-hmm. Eventually it catches up to you, and it's one thing for the Rays to do it, but I don't know. I just feel like George Steinbrenner might be rolling over in his grave watching this gimmicky crap from a New York Yankees team. Nine pitchers used. You're taking out guys when they haven't allowed a runner. You got guys dealing. It just doesn't seem like Aaron Boone has a real feel of the game. And mm-hmm. I get that it almost worked, and I get if it weren't for one swing, maybe it happened. But I think, you know, short term, maybe it worked, but it feels like he almost put all his chips on the table yesterday. And I just feel like the Astros got the Yankees playing scared. They got him.
He's definitely in their heads. Astros pitching especially is definitely in their heads. The only reason he's doing this because he knows he can't score a lot of runs. So I get it. You got to limit the damage every chance you get. I agree with you. It's kind of hokey. It's a little bit hasty.
You think he can't score a lot of runs just against Verlander? Because this Yankees team can score some runs.
No. I think they think we've got to limit and save every one run we can because it's so difficult against Verlander and especially Cole. You're in their heads. You're in Aaron Boone's head right now.
And you're going to get it's a best of five right now. So you can put mm-hmm. those two aside right now. You got Garrett Cole in game three. He's going to also pitch game seven. You're going to have Verlander sprinkled in there, and then you'll have some Greinke. So it's going to be interesting, but the Astros got him where they want him. Alex Bregman, he says if you were nervous, Astros fans, you were alone because he wasn't feeling it.
There was no 0-2. It was never going to be 0-2. We were going to win tonight, and we did a great job of coming out with a lot of confidence and played well.
I think he might have been a little bit nervous there. It was pretty close, man. It was pretty close to 0-2, but what a turn of events. And Carlos Correa, say what you will. I mean, he did it all last night.
He showed it defensively, offensively, with his stick. Yeah, he did everything. I mean, it's a five-tool player when he's healthy. He's the most talented player on this Astros team, and this was the Carlos Correa game. That's what we saw yesterday was the Carlos Correa game. The Astros have such elite talent that there's one guy that can carry their team any given night. Alex Bregman said it. Yesterday it was Carlos Correa. Team effort, but this is going to be remembered as the Carlos Correa game. Roberto Osuna makes a lot of people nervous, but he did his thing yesterday. Over an inning pitch, came in there, slammed the door, made it possible for the Astros to send it to extra innings. Roberto Osuna, how do you feel heading into New York?
Yankee Stadium is very loud. We're getting ready for that. And like I said, we're just going to continue to play hard. We're going to do everything we can to win out there.
Damn. I remember when he needed a translator when he first came here.
It was a slightly different set of circumstances that led to him needing a translator.
Jeez, he went Sammy Sosa.
And by slightly, I mean massive set of circumstances. Remember Roberto. When he couldn't talk about everything that happened in Toronto because he needed a translator?
Needed a translator, man.
Seems to be doing quite fine now.
Sounds pretty good there. What's that stuff where you can learn different languages?
Oh, yeah.
Alta Vista? What's it called?
No, it's one of those.
What is it? 713-572-4610. What do you learn different languages? Because Roberto Osuna must have had a crash course because he didn't need a translator. Game three of the ALCS tomorrow, 3:08 p.m.
I don't mind this. I've seen.
Well, we don't because we're off the air at 2.
No. But
Johnny,
there's another
Johnny
reason.
The accountant minds
Rosetta
it.
Stone.
Rosetta Stone. Yeah. Johnny the accountant minds it.
Johnny, the co-host of yours, remembers when every postseason game was a day game, and it was so cool. And guys would take off of work, and you'd watch TV at work or school. Keep in mind, I don't think the first. Ooh, let me see if it's all up here, Landry. Check my work. I don't think the first night World Series game was ever played until Pirates in 1970. When were the Pirates in the World Series? 70, 71? I think it was 71 was the first night World
you're
Series
talking about
game.
The We Are Family pop stars?
No. Clemente.
Rest in peace.
It was Pirates and Orioles, I believe. So, it used to always be day games. I think it's kind of cool to have one like this. I've seen a lot of people complaining, oh, yeah, this is the Yankees. Why are you putting them in the afternoon? Because it's awesome. Because it's awesome to have an afternoon game at Yankee Stadium in the ALCS.
John,
yeah,
this is wrong.
Get out of work. This it's part wrong. Of the fun.
I get it in the DS, yeah. But in the ALCS, I mean, and not everyone can get out of work, John.
No, but watch it at work. What do you think they're going to be doing in this building?
I don't know. There's some bosses who aren't nice. And they can't do it.
Cheat. Use your phone.
Cheat.
Yeah.
What do you mean cheat?
Get out, you put it on the big screen at school. Let your kids enjoy it when they're before they come home.
Oh, man.
Dude, they did it for 75 years.
Not everybody has it like you, though, man. Not everybody has it like you.
So what was America doing for 75, 80 years, however long it was, that it was played nothing but day games in the world in the postseason? It's fun, dude.
John, just 75 years, though, we've made a lot of changes. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've made a lot of good changes in the last 75 years. You want the world to be like it was 75 years ago?
I mean, in some ways, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
Figgy, been nice knowing you, man. You might need a new producer.
Hey, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if that was the case.
Oh, my gosh. 713-572-4610. Bring that noise.
Right, let me see. Pirates.
For lunch. Other NFL action. We'll go around the NFL at one. But NFL action that impacted your Houston Texans. Not only good news for the Texans themselves, they get the W, but the other two teams that played in the division also lose. The Jags fall to the Saints, and the Titans, they lose in Denver to the Broncos. Marcus Mariota benched for Ryan Tannehill in the second half. I was wrong about the Titans, to say the very least. My goodness, was I wrong about the Titans. Hell is breaking out there in Tennessee. Tennessee Titans might be looking for a new quarterback. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, Sports Radio 610.
I was right.
What were you right about?
First World Series game ever played at night. It was game four, Pirates and Orioles, 1971.
What were you, 50? Was that your 50th birthday?
Come on now. My point is, this is not anything, you know, new. In fact, it was the
John, you're going back to 1971 and telling me that's why it should be this way. When did baseball 2019?
Start? Like 1900, 1895 or something like that?
So we're going back 44 years, and that's what you're telling me? That's why that this game should be on at 3 tomorrow?
No, I'm saying you're going to like it. It's cool. Get out of work.
No, I'll like it because I'm off the air.
I'm talking about anybody. Everybody.
No. Tell that to the teachers can get out of the teachers can get off school, but some of them have to watch the kids afterwards. They have to wait till they get on the bus. Like, shout out to all my teachers out there. I know all the extra work that goes in after school gets out. You got the guy that has a normal job, a 9-to-5. He's not going to be able to get off. Quit being selfish.
I'm not being selfish.
Be a so man
you're saying
of the
baseball
people.
Was selfish for 80 years, 70 years?
Yes. Yes. Ask Jackie Robinson if baseball was selfish. Landry Locker, John
Lopez.
That's
a different topic.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lunchtime here, and it's going to be the tastiest lunch ever. But will we be eating Bill O'Brien crow? One of us might be. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.